Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, we'll recap the football team's weekend at Iowa State. Also, some really good stuff to talk about. A tournament win for women's golf, women's cross country winning their first meet of the season, volleyball wrapping up non-conference play with another winning weekend. All this success in women's sports we're talking about coming up a little bit later on. And man, what a great time to bring in our special guest today, Hall of Honor member, somebody who is a great guest to have during the 50th anniversary of women's sports this year at Arkansas State. It's Coach Kay Woodeal. How are you doing, Coach?
I am reasonably well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. So what's it mean? I mean, we're just sitting here talking about all the success we're having in women's sports. How much pride do you take in that?
Well, I am very prideful. I have really enjoyed following the volleyball especially. And I had to send him a note and say, you know, that SEC victory over Ole Miss sure did look good. And he seems to have it really going. I'm really looking forward to seeing them play that last week in October when there's like a jillion things going on.
Right.
I don't know how I'm going to watch the game and then go to the Hall of Honor dinner. I'll have to do some kind of wardrobe change.
Let's talk about the social media content there with you and Coach Gerwig leading in, because, and I talked a little bit about it here, but you know, for people that don't know or hadn't seen that yet, there was zero format, zero script to that. And I can tell you, literally, I started a Zoom, made sure you guys were each in your chair, and then I just left. And whatever happened, happened. So what was it like to have that chat between the first and now current head volleyball coaches at Arkansas State?
Well, you know, in a lot of ways, it's surreal talking to the coach that's there 50 years after you were, but absolutely loving the success that he's having. And I think it speaks volumes for some of the commitment that the university has made, just looking at the strength overall and the success overall of the various programs. It's something to be prideful about, for sure. But he was so easy to talk to. And we just, like you said, just chatted. And, you know, he had some questions about, I think my favorite one was, how did you do all that? And I've asked myself that question a lot lately. I don't know why or how I did it, but you just stayed busy. That's for sure.
Well, I do want to explain to people what all that entails, because we talk about the 50th anniversary of women's sports at Arkansas State, but you go back to October 25th of 1974. That's when it was announced that there would be women's athletics at Arkansas State University. And you were the women's coach.
And that's what it was called.
That was it. Now, that meant not just one sport back then. That meant women's basketball, volleyball, and tennis. And you coached all three of those teams for the first 4 years of the program. So when you reflect on that now, how'd you pull all that off?
Well, you're leaving out one aspect, too. I was also the administrator. I didn't get paid to be the administrator. But I'll tell you, I think part of it was, you know, it's kind of like the Jackson Brown song, kind of running on empty. But we were so excited. And when I say we, I'm talking about all the student athletes as well. We were so excited to finally be competing. We were behind the other schools in the state, of course. They had been doing this years ahead of us. So I think they were so excited to be playing and competing that you just did what you had to do. I mean, it was, you know, initially the scheduling wasn't as cumbersome as it would be now from the standpoint of, you know, the OWISA coaches just kind of gathered in a room and we worked our schedules out like that for all the teams, for all the sports. So that was helpful. But, you know, you have to throw in the fact that you're trying to recruit. But also in the early stages, I think I've referenced this before, recruiting wasn't as cumbersome as it was in the later years I was there. The buzz in Northeast Arkansas was such that people were contacting us as much as we were contacting players. You know, coaches were saying, you got to look at this player of mine. She's really good. And that helped, you know, to have that. And at that time, you could have them come to campus and do like a tryout sort of thing, which kept me going from one sport to another and not having to do all that recruiting in between. But it was a busy time.
I also want to back it up even a step from that, because I don't want people to think that when Arkansas State went and hired its first women's sports coach that went and got some seasoned vet. You were fresh off getting your master's, right?
Oh my gosh, Brad, I was 23 years old. I was probably too young to be doing that, but I think maybe that's why I could do it, because I was so young. But yes, I had immediately done my master's after graduating from Arkansas Tech, where I had played volleyball there. And at that time, they also did bowling and archery as postal meets. So I was on the bowling and archery team as well, which was, you know, it's fun, very fun. But immediately did my master's, not knowing any of this was in my future. I just thought my future was going to be I was going to teach and coach at a high school. And indeed, when I finished my master's, I was very fortunate to get, it was North Little Rock Northeast had just been built. It was brand new. I was hired as their volleyball and tennis coach. And then several months later, I get this call from Don Floyd. And really, I didn't think, you know, I said, well, sure, I'll apply. But I didn't think I would get the job, being as young as I was and not having any experience. But maybe that's what they wanted, a workhorse. I don't know.
And I would love to see if there's any copy of this, if the ASU Herald has a copy of the ad in the student newspaper that was asking for women on campus to come out and try out for the basketball team.
Isn't
but
that
that's
crazy?
Something you actually did, right?
Yep, that's crazy. It's crazy. I thought Brad had found that one time, because I thought he quoted to me the number that showed up, but that may have been a follow-up article or something. But you got to remember, this is October, and we're trying to put together a schedule. I don't know how many games we played that first year. I know one was Memphis State, and we got our butts kicked pretty profoundly. And I've always said that those shouldn't count in my record, my basketball coaching record, because, you know. But we were fortunate to have on campus some players, especially from those basketball hotbeds there in Northeast Arkansas, that wanted to play. They had played high school ball, albeit 6-on-6. And so I had some guards that had to learn to shoot and some guards that just trying to get that other part of the skill developed because they just hadn't done it. But it worked out. We did okay.
Some of those early practices were just going over the fact you could cross half court?
No. When we started it had gone to 5-on-5.
Yeah.
But they're coming out of high schools that we had several kids that had only played it that way. They had never played 5-on-5. So it was an interesting adjustment. I remember we had some sisters out of 56 Arkansas. And these girls, I mean, if we had had a cross-country team for them, they would have dominated, because that's what they did. They ran those hills out and around 56. They were in the best shape of any kids I've ever seen. But they had the most unorthodox shots. They would take the ball in both hands behind their head and shoot that way. It was interesting. Interesting times.
Was there ever any doubt that women's athletics would be successful at Arkansas State?
I was never in doubt about the potential success there. Tried to be very cognizant of the fact that, you know, I ended up hiring other coaches and just kept the volleyball program. So I had to be very concerned about, because I have fairness issues, and I wanted to be sure that I was projected as being fair in terms of the distribution of funds and that sort of thing. But I recognized early, because when we first started, it was when Louisiana Tech was dominant nationally in basketball.
Yeah.
And I went to the administration and I said, look, if you build it, they will come sort of thing. I said, look what they've done and look where they are. And I said, there's no question in my mind that we've got the athletes just in Northeast Arkansas. They were basketball hotbeds at that time. I assume they still are. And tried to get them to invest and just give us the scholarships and you give it to us and we'll build it and they will come. Could not convince them.
Coach, you know, you go out and you can have a great scheme and a great X's and O's plan, and you can even go out and do a lot of recruiting, but sometimes you got to get lucky and you're getting this thing off the ground and enrolls a kid from California. So I want to play volleyball.
You know it. I mean, there's not a day go by that I don't realize that I was extremely lucky. The program was extremely lucky. And I have expressed that to Julie over and over again, but you're right. Julie Vicari just came to her. She'd been a U.S. Junior Olympic player in California. So, and at that time, that's where the volleyball was. That was the hotbed for volleyball. So she was absolutely skilled. And it was simply a case where some of the other players came to me and said, you know, you need to check out this girl that's on our campus that can play volleyball. And I mean, I had no idea. And we went over and set up a net, and it was before that physical education building. So it was in an old gym. And first set she took and hit, she was lefty. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, we absolutely built that program around her. Nobody in OISA, the conference, had anybody close to her. And, of course, that got us very successful from the beginning in volleyball. And recruiting was easy, particularly in volleyball, was not as hot a sport in Arkansas at that time as basketball was. So, but we were so close to Missouri that I could go into the Missouri schools, especially those in St. Louis, and recruit out of there. And Julie was, she was just a phenomenal human. She was an outstanding leader. She was not a hot dog. She shared the spotlight. There was an athlete that was, you know, she just kind of brought him under a wing and said, no, we're all going to benefit from this and that sort of thing. But you're right. I was living right, Brad, in those days.
Well, we mentioned how you coached the three different sports at once. And for a four-year period, you were doing all three, but you stuck with volleyball for 9 years. Was that the one that you enjoyed the most?
Well, I think it was the one that I was the most prepared for, maybe. You know, I hadn't played competitively basketball or tennis except in high school. Now, I started playing basketball in college, but evidently in my youth, I started out being left-handed and they made me change. So I would do a lot of things athletically like a left-handed person. I would do a cartwheel the reverse way, go off a horse, which was the old gymnastics vaulting box. And so when I was playing, my layups were going in, but I was taking off on the wrong foot. And they were trying to change me. And I thought, I just think I'll stick with volleyball. And so I felt like we could get some other people that had more experience in those two sports. And that's exactly what we did. But yeah, I felt most prepared for it. Maybe I loved it a little more. Probably did.
And one thing that probably most of our fans don't realize is you were part of quite an amazing streak during that time. In fact, from 1976 to 1981, we had a 96-game conference win streak, which is really hard to fathom.
That was special. And the thing I regret, I guess, or that I feel a little sad about is Jerry Schaefer was the sports information director during that time. And he had contacted Sports Illustrated with this record and they were ready to do a spread when we hit 100. But that's when the AIAW was the umbrella that women's sports was under, with the men being under the NCAA. But there was a couple of years when there was debate about what to do. And finally, the NCAA just took over AIAW. So what that meant was you now had to compete in the conference that your men participated in. That meant that that time, Southland Conference, all Texas schools except for us, and we had to compete with these Texas schools, and every single one of them had six full rides in volleyball and six in basketball, which is what they were allowed at that time. And we didn't. I'm sorry. They had 12. We had 5. They had 12 in volleyball and basketball, and we had 5. And it was crazy that then we had to start that conference streak all over again, and the girls couldn't get the credit for reaching 100, which I'd like to think we might have done.
I don't know what give you that idea. What made you think that the next 4 were going to be different than 96 or 7 before it? This thing goes on, and you put those years in. You start the thing, and you're barely older than the kids you're coaching.
Oh, man.
But there comes a time where you survey the situation and decide the thing to do is leave. Why did you come to that conclusion?
Well, in part from what I've just said, you know, when I went to administration and pointed out the discrepancies that they were asking us to compete in a situation that we couldn't be successful. We couldn't be at the top of the leagues, which we had enjoyed doing in the previous conference. You know, I said, well, you're asking us to put 5 up against 12. I literally was told, and I quote, "You have a job here as long as you want it. Just don't rock the boat." And Brad knows. Brad's an honorary Tomahawk, by the way.
That's right.
I love that. You know, okay. So anyway, that's not how I'm wired. I just said, "Wait, I can't do this anymore. I've got to make a statement and see if it will help light a fire under what's happening here," because it was blatant disregard for Title IX, for one thing, from what was happening. They had made some changes and it had gotten better, but they had miles to go before they slept.
You said at the beginning of this, you're a very prideful person, but is there something, looking back over these last 50 years, that maybe you're most proud of?
I'm most proud of, I had a philosophy that when I went into a recruit's home and sat down with their parents, I would say to them, "I promise you that your daughter will graduate." The academic part of it, that student part of the student athlete, was very important to me. And we had an extremely high graduation rate, but there's no data about anything, you know, from what we did. We didn't have folks that were sitting there helping us keep data and stats,
right.
But I really believed that what we did in athletics, in competition, in practice, what we did to try to build a team was a classroom in and of itself, not like a history or a math or a calculus or whatever. But it was a classroom, and it was a classroom in which we were preparing those young women for life. And I'm super proud of especially those Tomahawks that I've been able to keep in touch with. They've been very successful in their careers. They're just quality human beings. And we don't get together as often as I would love for us to, but when we do have some fun. And they share all kinds of stories that I know they're making up. I know it didn't happen.
You show up, even though you had sort of been hired for your first job, in a lot of ways, this was your first job,
yeah.
And it's coaching 3 collegiate sports. It's being essentially the women's AD. At one point, you told the story about they wanted you to work in the ticket office. You drove the van, all the things. How was the Kawa deal that left Arkansas State different than the one who showed up to coach?
Let me just correct one thing. They didn't want me to do that. They had me in the ticket office doing that. Thank God for Kay Hopkins, who had worked up there. Because, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing, rightly so. But obviously I was older, and in some ways it had aged me. I'd like to say that I wasn't bitter, but I think I did. I think I had some bitterness when I left. I don't garner any now. I don't. I'm just so excited and pleased for all the programs there and the success they're having. But probably I was a little bit bitter when I left and not quite as excited as the day I walked in there.
Well, there's a lot to celebrate now. And
it's
really, really neat to be able to talk to you about this. You said you are coming back for the Hall of Honor.
I am. I'm excited to see the volleyball play that afternoon at 4 and then go to the dinner. By the way, are both of those in the same facility?
They
across
are not.
Across the street.
The Hall of Honor is over in the club at the football stadium.
Where do the women play volleyball?
It's in the arena.
All right.
But
that makes sense.
But it's just a stone's throw, as they say. We'll get you there.
Hop,
from one to
jump?
The other quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And listen, spoiler alert. I'm just going to go ahead and put this out there. Even though all the stuff she said she's doing Friday, Of course, Saturdays, tennis is playing some all weekend long, too. The 50th anniversary of women's sports tailgate party. But when we go inside Centennial Bank Stadium for A-State versus Troy, we're talking to that night's honorary captain going out for the coin toss.
Oh, boy.
Coach Kay Woodill.
What does an honorary captain do, Brad?
You're out there with the white hat. You're right in the middle of the action. You're going to flip that coin.
Yeah. Heads or tails? Do you know which one?
Okay. All right. I think I can do that. I have to give that some thought. I have to start practicing and seeing what happens.
Do some thumb workouts.
Tails never fails.
Sounds good.
All right, Coach, we really, really appreciate you joining us and can't wait to see you coming up at the end of October.
Look forward to meeting you and seeing you again, Brad.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Coach Kay Woodill joining us here on the Second to None podcast. More to come right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program. Wolves up.
And we welcome you back into the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Football team wrapped up non-conference play this past weekend. They traveled up to Ames. First ever meeting with Iowa State. Second straight week that the Red Wolves took on a top 20 opponent on the road. Iowa State able to win the game 52-7, and we'll talk a little bit about the game. I will tell you, and you would have been impressed, it was the most impressive tailgate setup I think I've ever seen. Just driving into Ames, and look, Ames isn't a big town, but we kind of had to drive all the way around the stadium to eventually get to our parking spot. Every single lot was jam-packed at 9 a.m. for a 1 o'clock kickoff. Tailgate tents filled every one of those parking lots, and it was just a really, really great atmosphere. They had a near sellout, an atmosphere we hadn't been in before, but I came away really impressed.
Well, I'm just going to be honest, and I won't attach names to this because it's not a knock on anybody, but people in our department came back unsolicited from Michigan, and if I'm just being honest, told me, hey, you really didn't miss anything. The atmosphere was honestly nothing special. There was just a whole bunch of people. And some of those same people came back unsolicited again saying, man, the environment at Iowa State's really good. And it's exactly, basically, almost to the person, half the crowd there was the week before at Michigan.
Yeah.
110 to 55. So
it was a great place. The people were really good to us. I mean, everything except the game itself was really nice on Saturday. It was a hot day. It was 88 degrees and felt even warmer than that, a little bit muggy at kickoff, but both teams had to play in it, and you know, the Red Wolves certainly have played in their fair share of heat through the first several weeks. Just didn't get off to a good start in this game. I thought maybe we had some chances early on. There were a couple of, and you know I'm not one to really get on officials, but there were a couple of pass interference calls that were not called early in that game. One on a pass down the middle to Courtney Jackson on third down that he's clearly getting held all the way down the field, and they never threw the flag.
Surprised to hear that. I didn't see your 15 or 20 tweets about it.
I guess I deleted those. But look, hey, credit to Iowa State. They're in the top 20 for a reason. They're a really, really good football team. We changed quarterbacks there toward the end of the half. Everybody believes in Jalen Rayner and that he's going to figure out whatever he's dealing with, but it's a total team thing. And I know Timmy McClain got quite a bit of playing time the other day with Jalen being out. I thought it was good to see the defense get a couple of more interceptions. I mean, that's two straight games against top 20 opponents, and we had multiple interceptions in both of those games. And you go back the last three games now, we've got at least one interception in all three of those games dating back to Tulsa. And that's the first time we've had three straight games with at least an interception since 2021. So we're doing something good there. The difference is, because we were plus two in turnovers at Michigan, we were able to stay in the game. But we were minus two the other day. We gave it away four times. And when you're minus two on the road against a top 20 team, that's not usually a formula for success.
You have to play well. And I don't think anybody would come out of there telling you they thought that's what happened. I was a listener to the radio broadcast of this game. That's how I took this game in, through the radio broadcast.
And, attaboy.
And I could, quite honestly, even through it, tell we were not probably playing nearly as well as we had hoped, probably nearly as well as in a lot of phases the week before at Michigan. And when you're playing a good team and you're not playing well, then all of a sudden, yeah, you've made the task a whole lot taller. Not that there's transitive property or comparative things to that, but I'm going to be honest. I was surprised, and I guess I should say pleasantly surprised, to then see Saturday Michigan turn around and beat USC and hold them to 24 points.
Michigan's a good team after all. Imagine that. The defending national champions are a good team. But yeah, we actually were driving back from Ames to Des Moines, and we were listening to the fourth quarter of that Michigan game. But yeah, dramatic win for them. And just goes to show you, when our guys do play well, then you got a chance to play with anybody. But when you give it away four times on the road, didn't play to the kind of level they did the week before. And I think the bye week comes at a really good time. Coach Jones said that immediately following the game. He talked about having one-on-one meetings with the players this week, pretty much everybody on the team he's going to meet with, and you're going to get healthier after the bye week too. And the offensive line will be significantly better because McKeelan Thomas will be in uniform for the first time this year. And you're talking about a first-team all-conference tackle. That's going to give Jalen and everybody else on offense a lot more confidence going forward. And Elijah Zollicoffer will be healthier. He's been out there kind of trying to play through injuries the last several weeks. You get more time for somebody like Riley McGeehee, the true freshman who started for the first time at left tackle the other day. Then guys like Tyler Little, who's our best blocking tight end, wasn't able to play the last couple of weeks. He gets back. Ethan Hassler should be back. Is really one of our better players on defense. So hopefully this will be a much better football team when they return from the bye week and play that homecoming game against South Alabama.
That's right. And obviously I know we'll talk a lot more about that next week, but hopefully everybody's making their plans now for it'll be a big weekend on the A-State campus. Homecoming. The Alumni Association is celebrating its 100th anniversary that weekend. They have a big party. The last I heard, they had 400 or 500, I think, people respond to that event Friday night before the homecoming game. So big weekend. I know the students will be looking forward to it. Expect their turnout to be just as good as it's been and probably even better. So hopefully everybody else is planning to follow suit.
Did want to mention the play of Devin Spencer,
yep,
the true freshman running back. I thought he was a big bright spot the other day. 9 carries, 52 yards. So nearly 6 yards per carry for a true freshman running back against a good Iowa State defense. So you're seeing more and more reps from him. We're talking about these young guys. I mean, you got a true freshman at left tackle, a true freshman who's playing a lot at running back. That's good to see going forward as well.
And I think that's, you know, indicative of state of college sports. I think coaches are probably more willing to let a true freshman try to help you early than before. It used to be you're trying to play the long game and you're looking this thing out 4 or 5 years down the road and making decisions based on that. And in this era of college sports, I think coaches are more likely to say, look, I don't care if you're 18 or 28. When you're good enough to help, you're getting out there.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Have you ever seen a group of fans more excited about dirt work before? And hey, I don't blame them, because you drive down Red Wolf Boulevard right now and you see that big hunk of dirt out there in the outfield from them moving around. They're about to put the turf down soon out there at Tomlinson Stadium. It is really exciting time.
I was rubbernecking on my way here to the station to record this today, because not just was that big pile of dirt there, but you know, one of those dozers was sitting on top of it. It was pretty cool looking, and trying to peek around to see just how little of that field had grass on it at the moment. So, yeah, it's a, if you think there's a mystery or something, or any kind of thing that's keeping that from happening, it's happening. No turning back now. They're not scraping that off just to plant more grass seed.
Do want to mention baseball with some exciting news as well. They've announced their roster.
We got a roster.
31 players have been added by Coach Silva and his staff. Of course, they've been on campus practicing, having fall workouts, but I believe the number was 13 junior college transfers, 10 Division I transfers, 6 true freshmen, and then 1 Division II transfer and 1 NAIA transfer as well. So,
and I noticed
people coming in from everywhere.
But one thing that doesn't change, even though the regimes do, I was glancing this list, there's still a kid from Washington State. So that pipeline to A-State baseball continues to churn.
Yeah, it started with Ty Dickinson, and we just kept it going, didn't
it's,
we?
It's been I would think most people would consider a surprising amount of Washingtonians playing baseball at Arkansas State.
How about that volleyball team? They continue to win. They took 2 out of 3 over the weekend at the Alyssa Cavanaugh Classic in Bowling Green, Kentucky. They fell to Western Kentucky in the first match, a really good Western team on Friday. But they came back, swept their final 2 matches against Austin Peay and Eastern Illinois, and they finish up non-conference play at 10-2. They're going to open up Sun Belt play this weekend at home, Friday at 6 and Saturday at 1 against Georgia State.
And we talked about the Western Kentucky match, I think, here last week, kind of being one we'd be interested to see. Western Kentucky is just a really, really good program, probably a top 25 type program. And don't let the 3-0 score of that match fool you. Go look at the set scores within that 3-0 and see that every set was kind of like the Lehigh match. Both of their losses was literally a point or two here or there.
Yeah, right there.
Changes the result of a set and potentially the match. So even at 10-2, not just is 10-2 a really good record, but 10-2 is probably not more than 8 or 10 points away from being 12-0. So they've still got a lot of momentum coming in here. Finally back home. Hopefully folks will remember the fun they had last time they were here on opening weekend.
Yeah.
And we can recreate that atmosphere Friday night. I think the team will stick around after the match Friday night and sign some autographs. And then back at it Saturday afternoon at 1. Sun Belt play is here.
Soccer team lost their conference opener to South Alabama last Friday, 1-0. Those are a couple of programs
right
that are really familiar with each other, have met in the conference championship a couple of times over the last several years. So they're 0-1 in conference, 3-2-2 overall, and they'll have a chance to get in the win column coming up on Thursday, 3 o'clock start time at home against Georgia Southern. And then they go on the road this weekend, Sunday at 11 a.m. They'll be in Boone taking on Appalachian State.
Yeah, what you expect, I think, now what people probably think when they're going to play Arkansas State is goals gonna be hard to come by, so hopefully we can scratch out 1 or 2 and make it stick. And it'll be, what have we allowed two goals all season, I think. I mean, or something crazy. Just playing really, really well defensively. Again, as you said, South Alabama, you know, typically one of the top programs in the league, a league at school we've battled for conference championships with. So kind of no shame there, and just hopefully pick up that first conference win this week at home.
Cross country, the men and women competing at the Rhodes College Invitational in Memphis this past weekend. The women winning the team title. They were first out of 21 teams with five individuals finishing in the top 20. The men finished eighth out of 19 teams in that event. So a good showing by our cross country teams. Men's golf, they were receiving votes this past week in the Bushnell Golf Week coaches poll. They ended up finishing 10th at the William H. Tucker Intercollegiate in Albuquerque. And big week this week because they're home for the Bubba Barnett Intercollegiate at Ridgepoint. That's going to be next Monday and Tuesday, and that one always a whole lot of fun. We set some records last year.
I've been known to make a bunch of birdies in that tournament. Yeah, at one point, I can remember a couple years ago where like they were mad that they did not finish 50 under at the Bubba Barnett.
I thought that was last year.
Yeah, just ridiculous. But also last week out at Ridgepoint, you know, if you're familiar at all with the layout at Ridgepoint, over as you drive to the first tee, they've put in a new practice green over there, and that area's been dedicated to Bubba Barnett, and there's a plaque there with a Bubba's picture and a Red Wolves logo talking about his commitment to our program. And so you'll see that as they head to the first tee for the Bubba Barnett next week.
How about the women's golf
team?
Winning the UTA Maverick Classic last week in Arlington, they were first out of eight teams. Ashley Kim winning first place in the individual. She was the individual medalist, tying the program record for low 54-hole total. She finished 12 under to tie Olivia Schmidt's program record. You know, Olivia, really good friend of this podcast. Right. That means right Ashley now, Kim. If you tie Olivia's record.
She's the GOAT. Olivia is.
Yeah. So we got to get Ashley in on this podcast very soon. And by the way, she was named Sunbelt Conference Golfer of the Week.
I'll tell you, sometime or another, A-State fan, get on astateredwolves.com, go to the women's golf page, and like click over and just find their record book. Essentially, you would think they only started keeping it when MJ Dabian Shaw became the head coach, because it's literally been rewritten in those years since. And this team right here, I think the most, if I remember right, Mark Taylor sent me this, the most times an A-State team has shot par or better in a round in an entire season is seven. I think it's the most times it's happened. This team's done it four times in its six rounds this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're doing okay. The women currently competing at the Red Sky Classic in Vail. We're recording this on Monday. That's a Monday through Wednesday tournament. So tough times right now for the women having to hang out in Vail, Colorado.
Yeah, I'd like to play there because I think I may feel like I hit a little further than I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, the ball carries a little bit better. Do want to mention the tennis team. How about Coach Sujay Lama and his crew, a successful opening weekend at the Belmont Lipscomb Invite in Nashville. Eight singles wins, four doubles wins. Each player had at least one win in both singles and doubles this past weekend. But I do want to put this in perspective. Eight singles wins, four doubles wins. Last year at the same event, they had two singles wins and one doubles win. So that tells you how far this program has come in a really, really short period of time.
Sure has. I mean, he's really done a heck of a job, and I look forward to seeing just how it continues to go. I mean, like, you know, they kind of had a player for the second day available they didn't have in the first, and then they got, I know, still players that, like, they're going to have a player or two available in the spring that they don't have in the fall. So, I mean, it just, the momentum is real easy to see with that tennis bunch.
And tennis back in action Friday and Saturday at the UCA Invitational. So they'll be down in Conway. All right. Anything else we need to talk about here?
Sure. A few things. As we recorded this, and based on when you're listening to it, you're hearing this on Tuesday or Wednesday, and hopefully you are. You've still got a chance right now through Wednesday to take advantage. There's a flash sale on men's basketball upper-level season tickets.
Yeah.
You can get four of those for, I think, for $375, and it comes with a parking pass. I think that's a $165 off full face value for her four upper level men's basketball season tickets. Get you all 16 games and a parking pass. That includes the exhibition.
Less than $100 per person.
Yep.
Wow.
It's a flash sale for a reason. It only lasts through Wednesday. So go to astateredwolves.com/tickets or call 972-2401 to get that. Don't forget, if you ever played a women's sport at Arkansas State, you've got a free ticket to the Troy football game and to our tailgate party before that. Go to astateredwolves.com/50-year-party to fill out the information here, and we'll get in contact with you to see how many is coming. We hope to have a lot of athletes from a lot of sports back for that. And, again, it was a perfect opportunity to talk with Coach Woodill, who, to be honest with you, this was really the case for me before I'd ever had a conversation with her. Kay Woodill is on my Mount Rushmore of Arkansas State athletics in terms of what I've considered the four key figures, especially as contributors. There's sort of a non-athlete division. Some years ago, I put one of those together in Ike Tomlinson, Ron Carroll, Bill Templeton,
yes,
and Kay Woodill were my four.
Hard to argue with any of those.
And I've had the pleasure now on a few different occasions to get to visit with her. Look forward to having her here coming up in a few weeks for all of that. And, hey, listen, she kind of kids around and tells people, and she told Coach Gerwig, I saw on that Zoom, she was talking about showing the same thing, that she's made me an honorary Tommy, which is, you know, the women's teams were called the Tomahawks,
yeah,
in the beginning, and they went by Tommies for short. Hey, you know me, I don't take that lightly. I'll put that on the resume that I've made it.
Honorary
to me,
Tomahawk.
Jimmy Hart made me a member of the first family of wrestling, and Kay Woodill's made me an honorary Tomahawk. I'll take both of those.
You're on some pretty exclusive lists there.
That's right.
Been a fun episode. Thanks again to Coach Woodill joining us. Really, really enjoyed that visit. And I can't wait to see her in person coming up at the end of October, that huge weekend honoring women's sports and Hall of Honor banquet. And, of course, the big football game with Troy as well. For everyone that's been a part of this one, for Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.